This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
And welcome to episode number 94.
94.
What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
And we're going to talk about shows and TV and stuff like that, because we just spent 30 minutes talking about
everything else.
How things weren't the way they are now.
Back in our day.
Yeah. But anyhow, we'll save you all that. Kind of interesting discussion, actually.
Yeah.
And we're just going to talk about what we watched this week.
Yes. Mike,
yeah,
what'd you watch this week? Because I got to say, last night when I was talking to you, it sounded like you were playing catch up on some stuff.
I was playing a lot of catch up, and I did manage to catch up.
Okay, good.
I found some time.
Excellent.
Finished up my quality assurance, banged out a few episodes, got caught up on things.
Nice.
So let's just jump out with Blacklist.
Okay,
we're gonna jump around.
Okay,
I watched Blacklist, both episodes, two episodes, and.
Okay,
so the return.
Ruin.
Where Elizabeth is up in Alaska.
Yep.
Okay. And I know it wouldn't be an interesting episode if something didn't happen, but I can't stand
yep.
The old, like, just.
She's trying to survive off the grid.
Yeah, she's just trying to do it on her own. And she happens across, you know. Yeah. Hitmen.
What happens when you hide out from trouble, and yet trouble finds you?
It's the same stereotypical type, like, oh, well, it wouldn't be an interesting episode if something didn't happen. Oh, she finds a guy unconscious on the ground. Mm-hmm. She brings him in.
Unconscious and bleeding.
And oh, massive laceration to the abdominal
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
She stitches him, cleans him all up. And then, like, four guys just show up in her house when she comes back from, like, she went to go tell the ranger. She comes back, who clearly has a crush on her, by the way.
Well, yeah, have you seen her?
And she comes back, Sarah Plainenthal.
Yep.
She comes back, Elizabeth Plainenthal. So she comes back and she finds these four guys in her place. And like later on, she reveals that she never had her guard down, but she immediately looks like she has her guard down and she's automatically believing what they're saying. And I'm like, yeah, everything they're saying has so many holes in it. But yeah. I realize there's four of them. There's one of her. She's not going to come out. This has got to play out. But it's like. Again, I know it wouldn't be an interesting episode. They can't just have nothing happen.
Right.
But why does it have to be such extreme measures of four guys who are Italian mob or from some mob family who were there to find a guy that was put in witness protection that they found out where he was, but they got to bring him back so they can find out what he said to the
yeah.
feds.
Yeah, they can't kill him.
Yeah, and on and on and on, and they just happen to run into her, and this whole scenario just happens to happen. It's just...
A lot of it was over the top, like him saying, you know, oh, our plane crashed while we were coming up fishing. And then he goes, the hunting trip. And she goes, what do you mean hunting? You said it was fishing.
Oh, I was going to go kill a grizzly bear and they wanted to go fishing.
Did you know that killing grizzlies is illegal?
Well, you've never done anything that's not illegal.
And then she happens to put crushed glass in the guy's ice.
She's like, I froze crushed glass in your ice cubes. It wasn't just I sprinkled it in with the water.
Yeah, no.
I froze it into the ice cubes that I saw you chewing on. Yeah. Now, she told them this guy was going to die if he didn't get medical attention within the next couple of hours.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
It takes like a good 20, 40 minutes to freeze.
At least.
You know, to make it solid enough that, you know.
Yeah.
I had a lot of problems with it.
I did as well.
She viciously killed two of them by burning them to death alive.
Yep.
One, she just simply shot. That guy got off lucky. The other guy was poisoned.
But in his peanut butter.
In the peanut butter.
That was her peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he said that. He's like, she poisoned the food. About the only thing that I – now, the other thing was, this was the same week that we had that episode of Lethal Weapon where he bought the puppy.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, so we got Lethal Weapon, and we got a dog murdered.
Yeah.
Then we come over to this show.
Got a dog murdered.
Got a dog murdered.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on in TV land?
Yeah.
But about the only thing that I really liked out of this episode was that they essentially showed us that Elizabeth has gone to the dark side.
Yes, and that's what that whole was. But you know what? They could have showed us that without her murdering four people.
Well, that was the whole point.
Or self-defense killing four people.
She said at the end, you know, to Red, she was like, I'm not going to lose any sleep about it. Yeah. And he's like, you will eventually.
Right.
But it was basically to show that, you know, she's reached a point now where she's like, no, I killed these people. It was me or them, but I had no problem killing them. Whereas before, when she was an FBI agent full on, you know, she was like, no, we've got to bring them in. And so she's really gone down the dark path.
And, you know, honestly, the next episode continues to look at that, how this unit working with Red has changed all of them.
Yes.
Because the next issue, it's not a comic book. The next episode was wrestler heavy centric, which
yes.
He had that guy, that cleaner that he had to come in, and that guy's been blackmailing him since then. So I'm glad they finally addressed that.
Yes.
And got rid of it.
Yes. On the one hand, I felt like they tied this up in a neat little bow way too quickly. Like I expected them to play it out. I was glad that they didn't, but at the same time, I was a little disappointed. I like that he showed up at the kids' football game.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
I was just happy that it was done and over with.
Yes.
That's my main thing.
I'm happy. Red took care of it.
But again, this guy got burnt alive.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Yeah. And you hear him screaming, oh my God, oh.
Yeah, no. There's three people in two episodes now that have been burnt alive.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
So.
They're filling that Game of Thrones gap that we're all experiencing.
Anyways, like I was saying, I do like the fact that that's over and done with. So now we don't have to deal with that anymore. That's not lording over. I like how, you know, wrestler wanted to turn himself in. And boss wasn't having any of it. He's like, I'm going to keep this letter. And when we're all done doing our work in this unit, then I'll turn it over. And then he passes him a conveniently written letter and goes, and you'll do the same for me.
Yeah.
And that's what he tells him. Like, hey, you know, this unit's changed all of us.
Yeah.
And we've all done things we regret.
Exactly.
And but they both want to atone to that eventually someday, apparently.
Yep.
Nothing will ever come of that part.
No.
But it was it was neat to see.
Yeah, because that would have to actually be predicated upon the series ending.
Right. And then, of course, on the other end of things, you have Elizabeth showing, you know,
More of her dark side,
trying to hunt down the guy that killed the people that are responsible for Tom's death.
What I really liked about this was, you know, you see her being all badass, like cuffing the guy to the car and then driving down the alley and being like, oh, no, I got a full tank of gas. We can go for a run. You look athletic.
Yeah.
But then, like, she's acting all badass, all tough. And then she gets up into the room with that guy and gets caught off guard. And he just smacks the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, she's got all the training.
Yeah.
She's still a little woman.
Right.
You know? And that's not saying that she's weak because she's a woman. It's just saying she is a little person. And this was a behemoth of a guy.
Very large man, yeah.
I mean, he lifted her right up and slammed her against the wall with his bare hands. And
then they had the thing happen, which, again, is kind of a groaner for me. Maybe it's because I've just seen it too many times in too many shows, too many movies. Just
dude, it was a wrestling rally.
It's been done to death. Is when they slam down into the table. Mm-hmm. It's a glass top table, and a big piece of glass punctures the guy's neck, and he bleeds out.
I thought you were talking about the fact that, like, it looks like she's on the ropes and she's about to pass out, and she suddenly thinks of Tom and rallies.
Oh yeah,
fights back.
No, that wasn't that. It was the chunk of glass in the throat.
I literally said out loud, "I went, oh, there's going to be some shards in him that kill him."
Yeah,
hey, look at that. Oh, it's in his neck.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was going to be punctured
right in the artery.
Yep.
It's just, to me, it gets a little. I've seen it so many times now.
Yeah, it's
so many different mediums. Yeah, it's just like, of course, why couldn't they just crash to the table and then she murders him violently?
Right. Yeah, like picks up a piece of glass and stabs him.
But I didn't dislike the episode at all.
I'm glad that the show's back.
Yep.
I am still enjoying it quite a bit, especially after it took that dip in season three, where it was like, I thought it was interesting that they brought Scotty back for 20 seconds to explain that's where Agnes is.
Yes, but I liked it though.
Yeah.
I liked it. But they also, they did a lot of retconning that we didn't see between the end of Blacklist Redemption and then the regular Blacklist, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, he testified against Dad, they reconciled, they spent some time together, and they were happy and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And now she's so happy to have her grandchild in her life, you know, full time, and I'm going to spoil her to death and on and on and on. kind of creepy ring-like little baby on the floor coloring with his hair down the whole room. Like, just not like, hey, Grammy, or hey, Mommy. Or,
the dress especially.
Yeah, it really was creepy. Just like, and we got to cover the kid's face the whole time. I don't know. That was just weird.
Yeah.
Man, that had a horror movie written all over it.
It sure did.
Yeah.
The Blacklist preschool.
but yeah, it's a good return.
Yep.
It's a good return.
Yep.
Did not watch Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
I didn't get around to that one.
All right. We'll hold off.
I don't feel real heartbroken about that.
It was a good episode.
But. I did catch up on the last two episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
I have two to watch or one? I just had the one to watch. We had talked last week about...
how was your favorite one of the season?
Yeah, and honestly, they kept going with this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode quite a bit.
Absolutely. The one thing that I could have done without, because I liked a lot of it, I liked the fact that his brother was murdered by him.
You know?
That he was straight up killed. I like that Sonara's a badass, and, you know, she killed the highest ranking Kree soldier that's never been defeated. Well, she shot him in the back with her balls.
Right.
Nah. The one thing that I could have done without was the whole, the kid thing, you know, when he was like, no, I'm staying here. You told me that somebody's going to stick up for these other guys. And Mac's like, I'll do it with you.
Mac and Yo-Yo.
And Yo-Yo's like, I'll stay too. And it's like, dude, you guys just got back together and now you're going to separate again. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Maybe it's just a way to get them off the show for a little while.
Maybe.
Save some money. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, but yeah, I'm with you there. I do like the backstory of how Cassius, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Cassius. There we go. I know it's spelled like Cassius, I guess. How Cassius was just like the meek brother who suddenly was not. And basically he's like, look, I know dad sent me on a suicide mission. I'm not a fool.
Yeah.
And yeah, my two generals died at my feet because Sonara killed them because they were trying to prevent us from leaving.
Yeah.
You know, so like, yeah. I get it. And now, like, where last episode, it may have showed you that Snarl wasn't loyal to him, but at the end of the day, they're loyal to each other.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
They're loyal to each
other. Violently loyal to each other.
And, like, when he killed his brother and said, she's not a thing to be traded.
Right.
You know? One of my favorite line in all this is when Fitz tells Alex, tells Max and Yo-Yo, oh, I loaded up a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. weapons and I put it on level three with all the da, da, da. I traveled through space and time to find you. We seem to be glossing over that one or whatever he said. But basically he's like, we seem to be just dismissing that. I did that. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he had the forethought to actually plant these on that space station. And they're like, oh, but it's on level three. That's where the guys,
I traveled through space and time.
Back here.
I travel through space and time to find you.
Exactly.
I think we've been just been overlooking that a little too easy. A
little too much, yeah.
I like how when they were in they were using the anti-grav device to go up to the next floor. He's like, I'll show you. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then basically, like, we're going to give it up. Fitzsimmons is going to go.
Yes.
It's like their one word
now. I like that, yeah.
No, I thought it was a great episode, good story. You know, Enoch finding May on the surface and then them getting grabbed by those people. And then like, it seemed like the surface creature things, whatever they were called, were afraid of them is what they implied.
The roaches. Yeah.
Yeah. We're afraid of them.
Well, they were afraid of the gravity waves, except for that they ride the gravity waves, but yeah. It
but he
like,
said there's something else they're running from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we get that, the big shot at the end that, you know, here's Robin. And
it's the little girl who's old now.
Really old.
Yeah, the bird still.
She's like, I've been waiting for you so long. So that's going to be their tether between the time periods.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
I'm really hoping. See, this is what killed it for me when Mac and Yo-Yo said that they'd stay behind with the
camera. Yeah, I know. I thought it was dumb.
Well, what really killed it for me was I had thoughts of Mac in the framework. You know, I'm staying with my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So if they can find a way to transport back to the past to fix all this, I don't want Mac to be like, well, I'm staying here to help them because if you can't fix it, then we need to be here to help them. That's what I'm picturing is them saying, you know, no, we're going to stay here in this busted ass future. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a Mac thing.
Yeah.
Based on the framework.
Exactly.
But yeah, I thought another good episode I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah.
So definitely for me now, the season has picked up.
Yes. And I've been enjoying it.
Likewise.
Yeah.
The Good Place.
The Good Place.
Good episode.
Yeah. Really kind of turned it on its end by the end of it.
Yeah, it did. Basically, Michael says, oh, well, the only way you get to the good place is if I do this hot air, but like, he makes this.
That part was a little ridiculous.
And they have to find their true good only self.
Your best version of yourself
can let you in. And all it is he's stalling.
Yeah.
So we do see quite a bit of funny things and people doubting themselves and then picking each other back up and bringing each other down and this and that.
Then Janet stepping on it and getting like stripes and polka dots.
Yeah, exactly. And I liked it when they called Evil Janet and then he just deactivated her. Yeah. That was funny.
With the paperclip. He's like, I'm sorry to do this. She's like, sorry to do what?
Yeah. But they're basically just going to go straight into the bad place and go meet this judge.
Yeah.
So.
But. We watch them as the train's pulling away. The good place
disappeared. Yeah.
So the fake village is gone now. It can't be a set drop anymore. Yeah. We can't have that as a background unless they try to reboot it again. But they won't because, you know, that whole thing is done.
Yep.
So that was cool. The show is moving on
again. I wonder where it's – there's a part of me that I'm a little afraid, like, where is it going to go?
Right.
Because if they do go to the good places, I mean the series is over.
Yes, I would assume. And maybe they're saving that, but – I think we're going to spend some time in the bad place, and we're going to get to see what it's like down in the bad place.
Well, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I like I said, I'm glad to see it moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, so that they're not just stalled out in that village anymore. So that there can be more growth, there can be more stuff, because that show has really impressed me, the season and a half that I've watched it, and I think that it's because of this, because it keeps moving forward. It doesn't just sit there and spin its wheels like a normal sitcom every week, you know, a new wacky adventure. Right. So, yeah.
So on Superstore,
yeah,
Amy has her Golden Globes party.
It was a little groan-worthy.
Yeah, the episode. Okay. The whole bit with Amy and the food and, oh, it's just barbecue meat. No big deal. I'm just going to microwave it. Oh, and the sauce is so good. Like, no, it was just, yeah.
It was one of those over-the-top, groan-worthy. I always go back to Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
You know, that by the end of the movie, you're like, Jesus, how much more can they throw at this person? It was unenjoyable for me for the most part.
Sandra bringing Jerry to the party. And he's brain dead, practically.
I loved it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was this the first time we met Glenn's wife, yes. Jerosha?
Yes.
I love Carrie Kenney.
Yeah.
I thought she did great as his wife. It was both awesome and disgusting that they had sex in her bedroom.
Yeah, when they came out, Glenn was like, hey.
And she's like adjusting her underwear.
Yeah, like, and her like dress is caught in her underwear. Yeah. So in the front, it's all, yeah. That was interesting.
There was a lot of groan-worthy in this. Amy going over the top, and, you know, people would be like, come on, let's just go. She's like, no, you have to stay. And
yeah, it was too much. It was
ridiculous.
It was her trying to show that her life wasn't in shambles. She can't operate her TV. She doesn't know what the Wi-Fi password is. She doesn't know what the password is to get in to change the Wi-Fi password.
She doesn't know how to cook meat.
She doesn't know how to cook. She didn't understand turning a grill on.
Yeah. I put them out there first off, she put them out there 3 hours ago. Right. Chicken drumsticks and ribs.
Yeah.
She put them out there 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
Those would have been briquettes at hour one.
Yeah. Yeah. At 35 minutes.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just, there was a lot of groan-worthy in the episode.
And then Kelly, who I like as a character, was getting shit on the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they were really mean to her.
She didn't know commercials.
Yeah.
Is this a mannequin thing?
Yeah.
That did seem kind of odd. She felt bad because she didn't know any of the inside jokes. And then by the end, she seems to be, oh, you want to come with us? So she's all excited about that. But yeah,
I didn't like that. And granted, like, I think part of it was that she's younger than them. So they all had these like 80s jokes and stuff like that.
I think in real
what's
life.
What's up? And she's like, I don't know.
I think in real life, that actress is older than them.
Probably.
Like, I think she's 40 or something.
I also, so,
to me, it was just seemed kind of odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also didn't get Dina being a vegan.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
I'm like, did I miss something along the way? Because she really doesn't seem like the type
of vegan. I guess it just added to the joke of her eating that nasty ass microwave chicken.
It did. But at the same time, it's like to pull something like that out of the blue,
yeah.
You know, where she's just like, I'm a vegan. You know, or they say, you know, you're not going to eat that. You're a vegan. She, like, of all the characters on that, she is the last one I would picture to be a vegan. because she's a bigger woman. She's very aggressive. You know, she seems like the type that would be like, oh, that's stupid.
Right.
Give me meat.
Yeah. The one funny thing I did kind of like, or I thought that was the girl that kept trying to parallel park her car and then gave up.
Yeah. And just listening to sad music, eating cupcakes and drinking
a wine cooler. Yeah. I thought that was kind of funny. but yeah, it was okay.
It like I said, to me, I always call those like the meet the parents kind of episodes. You know, they're just very cringeworthy to me. Some people love that kind of humor. They throw.
I don't like it when it's like, that's why I don't like comedy spoof movies so much. Like when I was a kid, the ones I watched then, I think I liked, but now as an adult, I don't want to watch new ones. If scary movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. LA to Vegas. Did you watch episode 2?
I did.
So,
very glad to see it back.
I loved, okay, so the guy that died, I can't think of his name, but he was on Son of the Beach.
Oh, yeah. And he was on My Name is Earl and what was the other one? Raising Hope.
Right, which is all by the Greg Garcia,
right,
who did all three of those shows, by the way.
But he went by his real name in My Name is Earl, and like he was always propositioning the daytime hooker, and he was an alcoholic, and oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fantastic. He died instantly. He's like leaning all over the stripper. She's like, okay, I think I'm trying to be cool about this, but can we please move him or do something about this?
Right. The YOLO sunglasses.
Oh, God, that was hilarious.
Normally, I would have been like, that's stupid.
No, but that in case, that way it was done well. I thought it was funny how Prattman gets a... highlighted in that magazine, and then he starts getting a nervous tic with his hand. He can't fly now.
The yips, yeah.
Yeah, the yips. And so Artem has to, like, has to, it's your turn to flee. You know, like, you got to land this plane and everything. And I don't know if he ever did.
Yes. He did. No. Captain Dave landed
the plane. Yeah, that's what I thought.
He got over it.
Yeah. But just all the, I mean, I don't know, it was hilarious. It was absolutely, not Artem, Alan. I
said, yeah.
Alan. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, because he tripped. He tripped over the dead body and got knocked out.
Yeah. But when he goes over and he like puts a blanket on over the guy, because like, what are you living doing? Guy. Yeah, he's like, oh, that's everybody. He's not dead. The dead guy's up here. And now everyone knows that there's a dead guy. Yep.
I like how the stripper like negotiated. She's like, look, I think that I need something for this. She's like, all right, how about from now on do priority boarding for veterans and strippers?
Okay. Yeah. I can take
that. I've served my country.
I don't know. I like the establishing of the characters of the Russian gambler.
Yep.
Of the stripper. I think it's great.
Yep.
When Colin's back, they were going to go on a date. She stood him up.
Yep.
They decided to go on a date at the end. And he's just like, I love this. He goes, We fight 90% of the time. We spend fighting 3% carrying a dead body, and the other 7% no 3% yeah three carrying a
7%
dead body,
was carrying the dead 7%, body,
and then the other 3% making out in a bathroom. So all right, sure, let's go for it.
Yeah, because she gives him the speech and she's like, let's do the crappy stuff where we get into fights and we fight over where the kids are going to go and we do this and we hate each other, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that sounds awful.
Yep. And then he just, you know, whatever they have, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay. And she goes, time went on.
Yep.
I don't know. I can't wait to watch the next episode. It's just a funny show.
It is.
I hope it, unless it goes way downhill, I hope it makes it.
Yep. I do too. It's Fox. They're usually good about.
What else did you watch, sir?
Well, let's see. I did not watch Happy this week.
Forgot about that show.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it recorded, but I haven't watched it yet. The Good Doctor came back. Yeah, it was okay.
I haven't watched it yet, but maybe.
The Magicians came back for season 3.
Oh, how'd you like that?
Really excited about that. It's good. At the end of the last season, magic was dead because they killed the gods of Fillory. Mm-hmm. So everybody who had magic no longer has magic. And people are really having a hard time dealing with that. Like, there are people who are killing themselves because life isn't worth it anymore. You know, they got to experience having magical powers and they can't do it anymore. And they're, without knowing a lot about it, I'll just say that, you know, they are sent on a quest. They will be embarking on a quest to get these 7 keys that will open up something that will bring magic back to the world. And not all of them are thrilled about that, you know, because they don't all want to work together for different reasons. But it's just, it's one of those shows that when I first started watching it, it was just weird and it was kind of dark and twisted. Yep. And by the second season, I was like, I'm really digging this. And now this season, I'm like gung ho. Like, yes, I can't wait. I'm so excited. The Magicians is back. So I like this show. If you've been watching it, I'm sure you're enjoying it too. If you haven't, it's worth a check out. The first two seasons are on Netflix and season three just started. So,
well, they just put season two of The Detour up on Hulu.
And season three starts soon.
Yeah. So I've been watching season two of The Detour. There's some pretty just obscene things in it.
Yeah. Yeah. This season went over the top.
So, like the poo in the eye from the card ripped out of the guy's anus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it's gonorrhea of the eye.
I remember when this first came out and I was telling you about that on this podcast and I was like, it was just way over.
Yeah. And then top. I was, as I'm watching it and they start talking about, you can't walk till the white man says, because on the crosswalk, the guy is white.
Yeah. Color.
I remember you saying that was done hilariously.
Right.
There's just a lot of things. But the one thing that has annoyed me this season, and I didn't notice this last season, maybe it's just been a long time since I watched it, I don't remember the sister being so obnoxiously annoying like she is in this season.
No, this season she's really something's different.
And it's
like Jareb is still an idiot.
But she's just so over the top. Like, and it's not even like she's got a mental health issue. It's just like,
but it almost seems like it.
I don't know. It's just, I don't like it actually.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. I had a hard time with it. She was much more grounded in the first season. Like she seemed to be the voice of reason. And now in this season, it's almost like she's like, I'm tired of being the voice of reason. I'm going to be the voice of insanity.
Voice of insanity actually fits really well with what's going on. I didn't like it.
No. But the mom and dad are the real stars of that show, and especially the mom. She's just so crazy, but she does it so well. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love a lot of their exchanges. I am looking forward to going back and rewatching the second season in preparation for the third season coming up here, because I think that starts the 20-something, like the 26th of this month.
Yeah, it's in January. That much I know. So I watched X-Files.
As did I.
This episode was a little better.
Okay.
I don't know how you say okay, like I don't think so.
Go right ahead and explain yourself, sir.
I don't know, I guess. They're not investigating the case still.
Right.
They're hanging out at their house. And all of a sudden, Mulder's phone freaks out, and then we see Langley, who was one of the lone gunmen, and he's been dead for 15 years or whatever it is.
Which really should have made us more excited than it did.
I was cool to see the cameo, in my opinion. And then all of a sudden, these Russian-led team shows up. There's a Russian guy's leading this team, but they're private contractors.
Well, first it was like one car with three guys in it.
Yeah, three random guys in it.
Two of them get killed, the other one drives off.
Yeah.
And then they call Skinner, and he's like, surrender. I can't protect you.
And these guys, then they show up in the military vehicles.
In Humvees, yeah.
Yeah, and they get captured now, and they're just...
But they're not really captured, because they're captured, but then they ninja themselves out of it.
They get out of it real fast, and it's weird. And then they're on the run, and then long and the short of it is this is what happened back 15 years ago.
Oh, no, no, no. You can't long and short of this.
Well, I'm hold on.
Okay.
What happened was I'm jumping to the I'm skipping a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, 15 years ago, whatever it was, there was this technology where they could basically take your brain and put it in the framework.
But they didn't take your whole brain; they just took like part of your consciousness,
right?
Or something.
And basically, what it is they want to take the brains of all the smartest people out there, put them in this one place, and make them think they're still alive, even though they're not.
But they're in like paradise, basically.
Right, and they don't notice what's not in their life anymore. They don't notice the bad things or what's missing or what's wrong. And essentially they use them as a giant think tank to create new technologies going forward. And somehow that's bad. And Langley is in there, and you don't get in there till you die. And Langley's in there. And the Langley, fake Langley in there has discovered that he's dead. This isn't real. He's managed to figure it out.
But he's the only one of
the only one
most brilliant
everybody.
Minds
and
in the
he
world.
Reaches out to Mulder of all people.
Uh-huh.
to shut this thing down.
Yeah.
And then we meet Langley's mystery girlfriend, and there's some really convoluted things about where they are buried in the cemetery and their dates of birth and how it leads over to this other tomb of...
Dude.
And it's just, it's really
convoluted. Okay, I want to talk about this. Because they're like looking at the three graves of the lone gunman.
Yeah.
And they're like, so... This one, it's the dates are wrong, and like that's the date that the 33rd president was killed, and this is the date that the 32nd president, the 34th president was killed, and the 35th president died. Yeah. And they're like, but wait, what's missing? Well, 33. Well, what's 33? Let's see. Well, wait, what if we went up three and to the right or to the left three and see exactly what grave is there? Because Langley's grave is facing in the wrong direction, unlike every other grave out here. So let's do this. It was stupid.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
And then they discover that, you know, oh, look, here's Deep Throat's grave, and Mulder remembers seeing him buried here all those years ago. And look, the cross on this isn't embedded like all the others. It's raised, and I can turn it, and there's a little chip in there that looks like a dog collar. And, oh, my God, now we'll take this to this person because we got a little message. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. And here's the other thing, too. Allegedly, these guys that broke into Mulder's house and wrecked it and did this and that, blah, 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 they're all government-sanctioned.
Yeah.
So
they're the NSA.
They're not even the NSA. They're a private bureau that's being allowed to operate under NSA's authority.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? That's the other thing. They're not even part of the U.S. government. They're based out of fucking Moscow. That's why the leader was Russian.
Right.
And it just...
It was all about the Russian hackers.
Yeah, and then it was also all about we can't trust Skinner, but he's trying to help us, but we can't trust him. But, you know, Langley left us
this message that shows this building that's down there, and we don't know what it means. So we talk to him. Oh, he tells us just go to the fucking building. Oh, so the message was just literally go to the building.
Yeah, and
but wait.
But don't worry, the X-Files are all automated now online. You can access them all, except this information's all been deleted. And
There's a secret hidden tunnel from one of the FBI buildings nearby that goes into this. Allegedly, he says he's heard that it exists. So
they just show up and say, "Hey, open the door for us."
She literally does. She's
and
like,
the guy goes,
"I don't have my badge, but I'm Dana Scully, and here's my number." And he goes, "Okay," and he writes it on a clipboard. She goes, yeah. "If you could just help me into the tunnel so that I could take him over."
Those NSA guys want to talk to this guy. He's like all Hannibal Lecter like, and she like gives him the eyes, and immediately that apparently means that they're gonna fuck.
Yeah, because the guy's like, "Hey, so what's your deal?"
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was.
Now, by the end of it, I'm trying to piece this together because I was talking to my sister and she had a theory and I had a theory. Was this all the simulation? Everything that happened to them, the simulation in this computer?
I don't know.
Because that's what Ju was thinking. She's like, it turns out that the whole thing was just a simulation in that computer and their brains were in there because they said, we now can get your brains just by using a phone. You just use a phone and we can upload a copy of her brain. And that's why at the end we see that white-haired guy who's been tracking them the whole time. And he's, you know, they keep killing him and he keeps coming back. And now he's pounding on the screen.
I kind of feel like we're supposed to know who he is. And they, almost like, because they kept playing the Ramones song when he was on. So I tried looking up, was he one of the Ramones? But I didn't see anything that said it.
And Langley said, you know, the Ramones are here and they never fight. And they always play that song every night.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's two for two that I was not impressed by.
Yeah, I wasn't overly impressed by it either. Next week does seem to be like they're actually investigating a case.
Because
that's the thing about the X-Files. What it was all about was they were FBI agents.
Right.
And they investigated cases. And even in the 10th season, when it came back, that's what they did.
Right.
And they've actually yet to do that in this one.
And that was what each episode was supposed to be, was a new case. And kind of like Burn Notice, you know, with Burn Notice, there was always a new person to protect each episode, but they had the overall mythology that bookended it in the beginning of the episode and the end of the episode. But then in the middle, you always had a new client. The X-Files, you always have a new case. And so far, this is just ridiculous. And, you know, it would kind of make sense, too, because, you know, the fact that all the X-Files were digitized and uploaded by some other group, blah, 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 blah. No, they wouldn't be. That's FBI. They wouldn't put that out on the web where people could get at it.
No. It wasn't on the open web. It was on secured stuff. But government agencies had access
to it. Yeah, and he even said, he's like, so somebody else other than government agencies got to this. And he's like, well, yeah.
Well, I guess by the end it is an investigation because they did bring the FBI back with them to that tower to arrest Erica Price and to look at the servers. They had the FBI agents with them. So yeah. I guess there was some. But it seemed like we're back. The first episode is going to be all about how the final episode of the last season was a dream or whatever.
Or were they saying that all of last season was a dream vision?
No, just the last episode.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Was a vision of what happened. And then what is going to happen, I guess.
Right.
And then this episode now is like straight away, the bad guys are coming to get them. And again, they're just sitting at their home and they show up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're almost a little too ready for something like that to happen.
But see, that again is why I think Jew's theory that the whole thing was the simulation has a little more credence to it. Because like you said, you know, they just showed up. While these two are sitting there on their couch, and then, you know, the phone message. It's because your phone is paired up with these synchronous numbers, and you have to, you know, use this equation and pair it up with another phone so that you can talk to him inside the... Come on.
It's not as good as I'd like it to be. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Okay. And for me, it's even less good.
It's not as good as I like it. Because I loved the X-Files.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you're liking it a little bit better than I am. I like the X-Files, too.
I love the X-Files.
Yeah.
You know, I got every episode on DVD. I got both the movies. You know, I just...
Yeah.
It's a little disappointing so far.
Agreed. It's very disappointing for me. But that's okay. On your suggestion, and because I was interested, I started watching The End of the Fucking World.
Oh, what'd you think of that?
I've completed 5 episodes.
Yep.
I was doing it before I came into work today, so I've got 3 more to go. It's not terrible.
Nope.
But it's really not that great either.
Nope.
I'm trying to compare it in my head. I'm like, okay, well, you've seen similar characters on You're the Worst. You know, people who are very antisocial and assholes. But they're somehow more likable on that because they're more relatable. These two, they try to make them more relatable and more human by giving them their inner monologues every now and then.
Yeah.
So, you know, the girl is a bitch. I think
the inner monologue part's interesting to me. The back and forth, you're seeing both sides of things. I think that's unique and original and kind of cool.
You know, so she'll be like a real bitch and she'll be like, rah, 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 and she'll like piss people off. And then, you know, she'll have her inner monologue and she'll be like, I really need to cry right now. You're like, oh.
You do realize that they're like 15, 16-year-olds.
Are they in real life?
No.
I know that they're 17
in real life. Yeah, that's what I mean. On the show, they're like 17. Yeah. They're whatever, 15, 16, 17.
Yep.
In real life, they're 25 and 22.
Yeah.
But, that's the other thing is that they're pretty young on this to be having. I don't remember having such deep issues when I was that age.
No.
But then I worked and had a job.
Yeah.
I wasn't into killing animals or acting all weird and.
I thought it was interesting that
that's what she's been tremendously.
But in a weird way.
In a weird way.
Like, she'll just be like, she'll just be sitting there saying absolutely nothing and then just be like, have you ever eaten a pussy?
Yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, lots of times. She's like, I want you to eat mine. Well, right now? No, tomorrow. I'll be here at 11. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I know it's based on a graphic novel, but it's just, like I said, it's not terrible, but it's not.
It's not, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there. Like I said, there was parts that I really enjoyed, and then the strong detour from episode 1 to episode 8.
Yeah, because things seem to be, like, going along this path, and then all of a sudden I hit episode 5 when the cops are introduced, and it's like it just shot off to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
It keeps going, too.
Ugh.
Keeps taking that hard turn. Yeah.
I will finish it, because I've got 3 episodes left. It's an hour of my life.
Yes, it's about an hour, yeah.
But I can't say that I'm excited to think of another season coming out. I'm not really that excited to finish this season, but
fair enough.
I want it to be done, and I'll see it through. And yeah, I kept thinking to myself that same thing. I was like, I love You're the Worst, and there's similar types of characters, but they just do it better on You're the Worst. You know, they actually do make them relatable, whereas with these guys, maybe part of it is because they're kids, and you just want to be like, look, you little shit.
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yep.
Grow up.
Yep. That possibly could have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I watched the second season premiere of Taken.
Oh, yeah.
So when we last left off, Brian Mills shot a guy in the head that was responsible for the death of his sister.
Yeah.
And he was then, they were in Mexico when it happened, or Yeah, so he was taken into custody. So yeah. The show opens up.
Taken into custody?
You know. So the show opens up with Brian in Mexico prison. The team has been disbanded.
Okay.
The leader of the team, the government lady, she is trying to find him still.
Okay.
And essentially, this is a 44 minutes. This is 3 hours crammed into 44 minutes. They put so much stuff into this episode. In this one episode alone, Brian breaks out of prison.
Naturally.
You know, through a big scheme where he gets in fights every day and collects. Yeah, just watch it. It's interesting. Brian breaks out of prison. When he's breaking out of prison, the guy that's in the that he ends up hooking up with straight away, who's being brought in as he's breaking out, and they end up, you know, tagging along, is a super nice guy who was trying to get out of the country with his family because of something that he, you know, he shouldn't have seen or whatever. I don't know, but he was being wrongfully imprisoned because, you know, police are crooked. So he takes Brian to that coyote, and of course Brian uses his skill in shooting someone to get the coyote to.
His skill in shooting someone.
Get them out of the country. As they're getting out of the country, they get their truck gets stopped, and Brian turns to the guy and says, "Your daughter's probably going to be taken." And I went, "Oh, awesome! But I promise you, I'll get her back. Just don't do anything. Listen to me. Blah blah blah." She gets taken. They find out that he's an American, so they take him.
Everybody's taken.
Yeah, it was just the two of them. The other people then go off to be smuggled across in the country.
Oh, okay.
But Brian and her get separated, and he says, "Don't worry, I'll come find you." He gets almost killed by the, you know, he had stopped this arms thing in the previous season, and one of the bad guys was like in the FBI, and apparently the people that now have taken Brian, it's all related.
Oh.
Yeah, which is the other reason why he was in prison, you know, in Mexico, too. So, of course, they're going to kill him, but Brian's got skills, and they don't.
With a Z.
Yeah, and then he steals their car, goes and finds the girl, murders everyone in the house, rescues her, takes a thumb drive, which is basically a whole forced prostitution ring, in United States side of things, which they then bust later on in the episode.
Because they were foolish enough to keep it all in one thumb drive?
It's Mexico, man. Don't give a fuck. He manages to, as he's fleeing, now he's being hunted by the mercenaries that were hired by the FBI guy who da-da-da-da-da.
You guys are really missing out on the hand gesture here.
Hired by the FBI guy to go kill him and stop him because then he can hurt plans for them. As he's trying to get back into the United States with the girl he's rescued who was just kidnapped 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
The head of the unit that they were in from the last season. So she is now, through this episode, works for this private company that has this. Yeah. Yeah. Works for this private company that has developed this software that can find anyone in the world at any time by apparently typing some keystrokes, and they can find somebody.
Is it called Cerebro?
No, it's called like Aphix or whatever. The main computer that has this version in it is behind like in this Faraday cage. They don't allow real phones, they only allow like. Because, and earlier, the head of security has a Polaroid picture of him and the guy, the company head. And why is it a Polaroid picture? Well, they only allowed Polaroids in that area. They don't allow anything digital because they don't want this software to get out. But they have a fucking Polaroid camera in case they feel like taking a selfie, an old school one, right? So she's getting a tour from the head of security.
Those are some of the most outrageous air quotes I've ever seen.
Yeah. From the head of security who explains that, that computer in that Faraday cage in there, that's the thing that's got the version 2.0 on it that can find anyone just by going da-da-da, keystroking shit. Oh, and it's got a 15-digit password that you'll never guess, blah, 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 as he's going, what's your dog's name? What's your wife's name? And she's being casual, and I'm like, is going to happen? And sure enough, it does. She goes back with the gloves on. She's figured out the 15-letter password by typing like Catherine greater than a three or something. So it's the heart emoji, mm-hmm. whatever that is. And then the dog's name. And, oh, yeah, we're in there. And then she gets in and she gets on that one laptop in the middle of this cage and manages to bring up the code of the program, takes a Polaroid of it. The crystal clarity of this Polaroid is amazing. She puts it in her pocket. She leaves the company that she was hired for. She goes to prison. There's a guy. I think it might be Adam Goldberg or an Adam Goldberg doppelganger. You know what I'm talking about? And this guy is like this top hacking guy, but he's in prison now because
that's where they all are.
Because that's what he did. And when he was working for the FBI, he hacked like the head of the NSA and did something wrong. So now he's in prison again. But she got him out because, you see, she told the head of the NSA or whatever, the director, the software they were going to buy that she just stole. She was like, oh, you don't have to buy it anymore. So I saved them billions so that I can get what I want now. So she gets this guy out of prison, shows him the photo. He manages to recreate the whole thing, hacks into these government lines that she has set up on a safe house from previously. This is 44 fucking minutes of episode, by the way. Finds where Brian is. She calls her, like, friend and's like, hey, I know you're in this foreign country, hot girl who just murdered someone, but you have a 48-hour window to get to Mexico to save Brian. She gets there. She goes, when they see the truck, she's got a bag she throws in and a rocket launcher. Brian is being chased by guys on a pickup with an assault rifle on the back, and they're cornered and it looks like it's the end. No, blown up because she found them even though they're driving through the desert. Not on a road, not near anything resembling anything other than the desert. She blows up the truck. Okay? Brian then shows back up in New York, Texas, wherever they are, in the head agent lady's apartment. When she walks in and turns the lights on, he's been creepily sitting in the dark drinking alcohol, apparently. He hands her the thumb drive. Cut to the safe house that she has with the guy who's got the ankle monitor on, but he's like a computer genius who now works for her. And he's like, oh, yeah, look, this thing had all these, sex trafficking things on it. And these people are being busted. We've shut this down, this whole syndicate ring. They don't know what's coming. And on the monitors, you see, like, police going into a house. And then Brian shows up, and we're introduced to the new team of Brian, this head person, the girl that saved him, and the computer hacker guy. The other two were never on the first season. Everyone on the team in the first season, they're apparently all gone. That cast is gone. So they literally, in 44 minutes, saved the world. Like, it was crazy how much they put into this one episode just to basically rescue him, establish some new people, establish a new team, show that she stole this technology that they have now going forward, and episode two.
So in 44 minutes,
yeah,
they gave you enough stuff,
yeah,
to fill
a season,
7 minutes of airtime, convincing me that I don't want to watch this show.
Kinda, I guess.
Holy crap. But like, yeah, like the first season, you were like, the way you were describing it, I was like, man, I feel like I'm really missing out. And then you said it's coming back, and I'm like, shit, I missed out.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that and then catch up on this one. What you just told me right there,
yeah,
makes me not want to watch this show.
Like, we've talked about other shows that seem to wrap things up real fast, mm-hmm, unexpectedly. I was like, wow, I thought it would take a little bit longer, but
yeah,
no. They literally just put a whole season of a TV show, 13 episodes, if you will, in 44 minutes.
But it also sounds like they did it in the most over the top, ridiculous, like, this sounds like what Scorpion was when I was watching.
Probably, yeah.
You know, the same kind of thing where they're like driving down the tarmac in a sports car with no top on it so that they can reach up and pull a network cable down from a plane and plug it into a laptop and reprogram the plane while it's flying right above the ground.
That's a bit much.
Ridiculous, over-the-top stuff. Like, her just finding them out in the desert and blowing it up.
Did so much stuff. Well, the program pinpointed where he was somehow.
That right there.
Yeah.
That program, the Faraday cage,
yeah,
the password. Like, I'm listening to this, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, It's like they throw out all the realism that it sounds like they had in the first
season. Yes, they did. You're right. In this episode. And all I can think of is it's like they got a new showrunner. They want to go in a different direction, but they have to tie up these loose ends. They have to explain why they have a whole new team, and they're going to do it all in one episode. You know, they got to rescue Brian.
Right.
They could have done without the whole he's going to rescue this girl who gets taken.
Yeah. But then where would the name of the show come from?
But you know what I mean? Like,
and the thumb drive that just happens to have all the plans for all of this sex trafficking running across the country.
Yeah, it was so much.
And you and I work in law enforcement.
Yeah.
There's no way that all these jurisdictions across the country would react at the same time and go, we'll all do a coordinated attack.
That quickly, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Based on the information that this non-governmental agency has given us. So that we can all coordinate and tactically attack these things.
And I forgot, the FBI bad guy, the one from the first season.
Ooh, yes.
Don't worry, she got him. He didn't die, but he was forced to retire. Yeah, so they did away with him too. That loose end got tied up. It's like they literally tied up 15 loose ends, created a couple more, tied those ones up too, established two new characters, established a new headquarters, established a new state-of-the-art technology they have access to.
Based on Polaroids.
And based on a Polaroid picture, and established a new team. Yeah. Yeah. There's so much. It was just so much.
Again, I apologize if your point was to convince me to watch this show, because no, it kind of did the opposite.
It was like, what the freak happened?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of blown away.
Yeah, well.
Like I said, I genuinely was going to go back and watch the first season. I might still watch the first season because you said you liked it.
Here's the thing. I think you can watch the first season.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch this episode and go, what the damn hell?
Mm.
And then I bet you second episode going forward, it's going to be back to like what the first season was.
I will look forward to you saying
what. That's what I feel like is going to happen. Did you watch anything else?
You know, I don't think that I did. Let me double check. I watched Librarians, which I still really enjoy that show. This one had to do with fairies and being trapped and, you know, being trapped by iron because they're fairies and we've all watched Supernatural and know how that works.
Yep. Or Bright.
Yep.
I gotta tell you about this. I didn't see a trailer, but this movie I heard about.
Okay.
I gotta tell you about it.
Okay.
Heard about the Happy Time Murders?
Nope.
I'm just going to read you the synopsis.
Though. Okay.
This comes out August 2018. Okay. August 17, 2018, to be specific. It's called The Happy Time Murders. In a world where puppets coexist with humans as second-class citizen, puppet private eye, disgraced ex-cop Phil Phillips.
I'm in already.
Voiced by Bill Beretta. Is hot on the trail of a serial killer. Is hot on the trail of a serial killer who murdered his brother and is now targeting the cast members of a famous 80s television series, The Happy Time Gang. As the killings continue, Phil's former flame is next on the list. It's up to Phil and his ex-partner, Detective Edwards, to find out the culprit. But as bad blood and old resentments resurface, the clues start pointing to only one viable suspect, Phil himself. Now he's on the run with only his wits and his hard-headed determination as he and his partner attempt to solve the Happy Time murders.
Wait, they just said he's on his own.
No, his partner's helping him. Directed by Brian Henson.
Dude, I was in before.
The concept art, it's a Muppet.
Yeah.
But they can't call it a Muppet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But is it going to be a more like a PG-13 or an R-rated type thing? Or is this like a Sesame Street mystery type thing?
No, this is going to be an R-rated. It looks to be R-rated.
Excellent.
And it is. It was developed by the originally it was developed by the Jim Henson Company. This has been many years in the works. yeah. So
Happy Time Murders.
Happy Time Murders. Detective Connie Edwards, Phil's ex-partner, Melissa McCarthy.
Awesome.
His secretary, Bubbles, Maya Rudolph. His burlesque dancer, former flame, Elizabeth Banks.
Holy crap.
Joel McHale is a stern FBI agent who's worked on the case.
Dude, stop drilling. You struck oil, okay?
You know, like...
Do they not have a trailer yet, or...
No trailer.
Oh. This is my new favorite thing. And there's not even a trailer.
We're going to the movies to see this in August.
We absolutely are.
Yeah, I
hope it's in a full theater. Like, we may have to look around at, like, Nickelodeon or something.
But this will be in the theater. Yeah.
Christ on a crutch.
Yep. Doesn't this sound amazing?
Oh, that sounds fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, but Brian Henson, you know, he's just... Then you start reading the cast and who's in it and who's playing what. And it's just like, oh, Maya Rudolph, Joel McHale, Elizabeth Banks, Melissa McCarthy. You know, like... And it's in a world where puppets coexist with humans.
Which is just awesome.
And they're second-class citizens. So.
Now, I know you never watched Angel to its fullest extent, like Buffy and Angel.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
There was an episode called Smile Time, and Angel got turned into a puppet.
Oh, nice.
And David Boreanaz was still the voice, but he was a full-on Muppet, but living in the... Like, he had the vampire fangs and everything.
Nice.
It was one of the best episodes ever.
I think I remember hearing or seeing something about
Dude,
that.
It was so worth the price of admission just to watch that episode, even if you haven't watched the rest of it. Like, seeing Spike pick him up and go, oh, the wee baby puppet, man! And, holy God, dude. Man, I'm so excited.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
It sounds better than awesome.
I watched a trailer for a movie called Truth or Dare. Sounds super cheesy because it's based on Truth or Dare.
Okay.
Looks pretty decent, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's a trailer out. You should definitely watch the trailer. But basically, like... They don't explain it, but essentially, like, they're in this place where the guy introduced, hey, we should play Truth or Dare, and then it follows you, and if you don't answer truthfully, you die. If you don't fulfill the dare, you die.
Okay.
But, like, it follows you in everyday life outside that, so if someone says to you randomly Truth or Dare, but it's, like, they're also kind of possessed a little bit sometimes. I don't know. It's worth checking out the trailer. It looks pretty solid.
Okay.
Not like the greatest movie of all time, but like, hey, this could be interesting and fun to watch. I saw the trailer for The Strangers, Pray at Night. Does not look good.
Doesn't sound like it would be good.
You remember The Strangers?
Yeah.
I mean, the movie...
I never watched it.
Okay. I'm just going to... The movie's about like this couple who's in, I think it's a hotel room or a rented house or something like that, and they're terrorized by these three.
I remember you telling me about
people,
it. Yeah,
and like they have one guy's got like a burlap sack type mask, one's got like a baby face mask or whatever, and like they kill these two people in this hotel room, and the girl says, "Why are you doing this?" And like the strangers, you don't know who they are. You know, it's two girls and a guy. None of them speak through the whole thing, but one of the girls at the end says, "'Cause we can," and they leave.
Yeah.
And it's just so creepy and dark and like, holy crap. Like, that was just awesome because it was so different, especially right. The ending where everyone dies type of thing.
Right.
And so then they've been talking about a sequel for years. I think this movie first came out in 2001, 2002, the first one. So they're finally doing a sequel, but it just doesn't look good at all.
Okay.
It's over the toply stupid.
Like, we made money on the first one. Let's see what else we can
get
away with.
I don't know if they even made money on the first one, because it was so long ago.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's such a far cry from what the first one was. I don't know. Doesn't look good. Did you see any trailers? I got two more to talk about then.
Go right ahead.
I watched one for the upcoming sci-fi series in March called Krypton.
Oh, yeah. They finally got a trailer for it?
Yeah. And essentially, the long and the short of it's this. There's a guy giving someone Superman's cape.
Okay.
He says something from...
He doesn't tug on it, does he?
No. Something from the future is coming to destroy you, because in my time, your grandson's the greatest hero the world has ever known.
Oh, so... So there's time travel involved, too?
I don't know. But it seems like somehow that guy must have traveled through time, and he's saying that there's a bad person coming through time.
Okay.
So I don't know. I didn't. It's not what I expected it to be, but I'm going to try to watch it actually.
Okay.
And then the last trailer I saw is for the new Kickboxer Retaliation, sequel to last year's Kickboxer Vengeance or whatever. So this time, the guy that's playing Kurt.
This time it's personal.
Basically, the guy that's playing Kurt Sloan. He won last year. Well, people in Bangkok, they didn't take too kindly to it. So they capture him, or they kidnap him and bring him back there to force him to fight. And at first he's like, I'm not going to fight. So they kidnap his wife. Now he has to fight. his opponent, basically the guy that they want him to fight, is the guy that the actor that plays the mountain in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
So he's the big bad guy.
Literally the big bad
guy. Yeah. So this time, this guy's training is being handled by none other than Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, for real?
Who trained, yeah. Well, who he in the last movie, see, in the original kickboxing movie, Van Damme played Kurt Sloan.
Yeah.
And his and the one that came out last year, Kickboxer Vengeance or whatever it was, Return or something, he's now playing the Miyagi character. He's playing the guy that trained him type of thing. So he's playing that character again. So he's going to train him now to fight this big mountain of a man. And he gets a little help training him from Mike Tyson. Now, I don't know if Mike Tyson plays Mike Tyson in the movie, or Mike Tyson's playing a different character, but he's playing a guy who can box and fight. Yeah, Mike Tyson's in the movie. There's even in the trailer.
Sweet.
There's even in the trailer an implied fight scene between Van Damme and Tyson.
Tyson would lose.
He can punch, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
If he can connect, then, you know.
But the biggest thing from this movie, though,
is the mountain.
Was the fact that I thought that guy was friggin' dead. Christopher Lambert's in it.
Really?
I thought he was dead. I haven't seen him in something in so long. He still has that same type of voice that I'm trying to imitate and doing a bad job on from the Highlander, the original movie. Christopher Lambert.
Hmm. Interesting.
I thought the man was dead. Not gonna lie. Did not know he was alive.
Huh. Okay.
He's a French-American actor.
Yes.
No, he's only 60 years old. Christ, I thought he was 60 in the 1980s. Didn't you?
Yeah, he looked old.
The last thing I remember seeing him in was like Highlander Endgame or something.
Everything beyond the first movie was just garbage, except for the TV series. I loved the TV series.
I thought the TV series was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, God. I need to find that again.
Oh, it looks like he's been in a bunch of French stuff the last few years, which is probably why we haven't seen him.
Do you remember when you could order iPhone, the Highlander series, and have all the bonus gifts. And yes. I totally did that.
Yeah,
I had it all.
The 10 VHS set.
Had them
and
all.
It had the big Highlander, you know, on the spines.
Oh, yeah.
Side by each. And then you get the Highlander sword.
And the Highlander dagger.
Yeah.
And the official lithograph. And
yep. Yeah, I remember you. I remember seeing those in your house.
Yep.
That was a show. How many seasons did that go, that original series?
I want to look into that because I remember it was at least three. I want to say five. But then they had that stupid spinoff. I don't even know if it ever
lasted a season.
Yeah, Highlander Raven. Which, she was a great character, but giving her own show, no.
Six seasons, 119 episodes.
The sixth season was when it kind of got ridiculous, and they were all talking about the Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and Mythos was one of them. And
oh, I remember that.
Yeah, yes. It kind of like went off the rails.
Okay, season 5 was originally intended to be the final season, but towards the end of the series, the show was renewed for a sixth year. By the time this happened, the original stars had already had other commitments or other projects, so only available for 1 or 2 months.
Yeah.
The series dealt with the Amira story of the arc in the first 2 episodes. The majority of the season was Del Duncan meeting some female immortals whom he encountered and others he didn't. The producers were experimenting to look at a replacement of Duncan for a spinoff of Highlander the Raven, which wasn't as good.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, because like Richie, I don't think was in the season 6 at all.
No,
and he was I think was he killed off?
I think he was killed off.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think that really hit Duncan hard.
Yeah.
So
it's a good show.
Yeah, it was a great show.
I watched that in so long.
You know what we should do though?
Watch it?
No. Well, we should, but I think right now we should pause the podcast for a second because I found the trailer for Happy Time Murders.
Hold on, folks.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
God, I hate people.
Yeah. So John just got burned pretty severely by a concept trailer.
Yeah. So another one of those where they, you know, it's on YouTube. It says trailer number one. It came out December of last
year.
And
you click on it and then it goes, oh, this is fan made or this is a concept trailer.
Yeah.
You know, and bravo to those people who have the ability and skill and know-how and blah, 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 blah. And the technique
to literally just put pictures on
trailer.
It wasn't even a trailer. It was just pictures floating.
You're right. It was. But some of these are pretty elaborate.
Yes.
Some of these are very elaborate trailers, and I hate them.
Yes.
I hate them.
I hate them as well.
Because
especially when they try to pass them off as an official trailer.
And that's what they do to try to get the views.
Yep.
And I can't stand that.
Another one that I hate is when, like, you'll see an official trailer and it's like a minute and a half long.
Yeah.
And then you'll go to look and you'll see, like, wait, that says official trailer and it's 3 minutes long. And you go to click on it and it's the person going, oh my God, look, everybody, there's this movie coming up and I can't wait to see it. Now be sure to subscribe and like my channel and blah, 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 blah. And they go off for like a minute and a half about what you're about to see in the trailer. And then it's somebody else's trailer.
Yep.
Those people can go right to hell.
They can go to hell in a handbasket.
Yes. Oh, I don't care if it's a handbasket. They can go in a rusty old tin can. But they can go to hell. So, yeah, I was all excited. I was like, yeah, here we go. We're going to watch this trailer. And no, it was just still shots of, like, it would say producer Melissa McCarthy. And it's a screenshot of Melissa McCarthy. It's just like a promo picture floating across the screen. Dicks.
It's a big old dick move.
But we also discovered, just looking through a little bit on Mike's laptop here, that it seems that this project has been in the works for, would you say, at least 5 years now?
Yeah, quite a long time, actually, if not more. But you know how that happens in the old Hollywood.
Dies, movie. It's been resurrected, dies again, resurrected again. Apparently, at one point, it might have had Jason Segel attached to it.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks good. I'm excited about it.
I hope it really comes out now.
Me too.
Because now I'd be a little bummed if it wasn't.
God, well, no, they have a release date. We've seen, and we saw something else that had actual, like, images from it.
Right.
So, I think we're going to be good.
God damn concept trailers. Yeah.
All right. I think that wraps it up for me. Do you have anything else you want to discuss this week?
No, I think I'm good. It's now 1:11 in the morning. 1:11.
Why not?
Cool. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm on the Twitter machine at SuperstarMel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week, and thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you later.